Happy New Year. So I was so encouraged last week when we talked about potential, reaching our maximum potential for God and our God-given design. So, you know, I did like anyone else would do, like, how do I do it? Go to YouTube. So I went on YouTube, right? I went on YouTube and I was looking up, bullet journals. I was looking up different motivational talks and stuff. And I came across this one. And it really struck me as a very interesting topic or an interesting way he framed his New Year's resolution. He titled it, Life on Your Terms. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So it's like a 6-minute view. I clicked on it, watched it. And in this video, it showed beautiful landscapes. He showed all across America, even internationally. He showed, peaceful scenery. He showed, like, skydiving. He showed all these interesting and pretty exciting images. But something was very off about it. Something was very, very interesting about this New Year's resolution. Life on your terms. Something was very empty about this. So last week we talked about Genesis chapter 1 to really live purposefully, right? And last week we had Pastor Douglas read chapter 1 in its entirety. So I'm going to kind of follow up and ask Pastor Douglas to come up and read chapter 2 for us because he did so well. He did so well last time. So Pastor Douglas, can you come up and help us read chapter 2? And church. You know, if you like to support him, you guys could read along as well. All right? There. Yeah, no. No, I wrote it in there and you read it.
Yeah, I thought you were joking, but okay. No, I'm not going to be here second hour, so this is your only chance. All right. Let's all stand together. Let's read this together, all right?
Yeah.
In one voice. Genesis 2. All right, here we go. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and from there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pison. It's heaven where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God created the man to deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Thank you. Please be seated.
All right. So a lot of you guys who might know me might say, why are you preaching on this? And I think it's a funny one. But I do want to kind of give us a review. What happened in Genesis chapter 1, and as we read into Genesis chapter 2, how we go back into day 6 and kind of recount what happened. Why was that day very good? So, pretty much this in creation, God created, and it was good. Days 1, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. All right, actually, day 6 was very good. But as we read, there was something not good about that day. And then day 7, God was pleased with everything he created. God was pleased with everything he created and rested. I love this chapter because immediately after God breathed, God formed Adam, breathed into him, and then Adam started his job. Adam started his ministry. Adam started calling each animal by name. He spoke each animal by name. But the interesting thing is, in this process, as we read, it's not until after God really says, hey, there was no suitable partner. There was no suitable partner for Adam. So God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And when we're saying man, we're not just saying guys. We're saying all of mankind, right? So it's not good for men to be alone. But it's not good for mankind to be alone. Sorry. So it's not good for mankind to be alone. Actually, I kind of want to remind us what we talked about last week, that everything in creation, very good, was purposely, intelligently designed. Everything was perfectly, intelligently designed. It was good. And then second is we are designed to pursue God's purposes. We are designed to achieve our maximum potential under God's rule. And, you know, Adam was starting it, but it was not good yet. So Eve wasn't just Adam's mate. Eve wasn't just Adam's wife. Eve here, we see here, she was the helper. She was, I believe when we're reading this, we're reading that Adam and Eve had a partner relationship, that only in this partner relationship with one another that they could fully engage into the fullness of God's design for them. That together, not alone, but together, that they thrived into God's designated design and activated the authority of God in their life. So in reading this chapter, God purposely designed us not to be alone. And actually, God has given us the ability to form and create and to communicate community that calls out potential of other people. Community was about this vulnerability. They were together. I mean, verse 25 says they were naked. They were open to one another. And according to God, that was good. But what happened? What happened in all the all this goodness is the fall of man, right? We encounter the serpent, and although Adam was given dominion over all creation, Adam was given dominion over everything, but in a moment, he became passive in front of a serpent. Eve saw the good-looking fruit and sought it out, and Adam's failure is he his passivity. He blamed Eve. And, you know, in the midst of all this brokenness, humanity was cursed. What was once very, very good, what was once very good was now broken. Satan did something remarkable. He separated what was supposed to be together. And he broke it. So he broke ourselves from God. He broke that relationship the way it wasn't meant to be. And then he also broke humanity from one another. So today, most of us, we're probably the most connected generation ever, right? How many people have more than 100 people on their phone? Yeah, it's loud. Everyone has more than 100 people on their phone. How many of you guys have more than 200 Facebook friends? All right, how many of you guys have more than 500 Instagram followers? All right. How about TikTok followers? Oh. All right, and I don't know if we have anyone here, but YouTube subscribers. Actually, how many of you subscribe to more than like 10 YouTube communities, right? So, but you know, with all this connection, just from your phone, just from the device in your pocket right now, or maybe the device in your hand as you're trying to read God's word, like, are we really connected? Are we really connected to people? Is this generation really the most connected generation we've seen? Right now, I see depression running rampant in schools all around. I see medication being used for all sorts of things, and probably sometimes even illegally used, right? I believe this generation, we formed and we're comfortable with these counterfeit connections, right? I mean, I think one day on the break, you know, out of boredom, I just go on YouTube or I go on Facebook and I check out, where's everybody at? Where's everyone from high school? Where's everyone from college? Or where's everybody from this event, right? And just kind of see where everyone's at, you know? Then from that perspective or from that starting point, it goes into, oh, who's that person dating? Oh, who's that person? Oh, is that person single? Ugh. Right? So, but in the end of this binge, like, are you better off? Right? In the end of this series of you know, scrolling, clicking, and reading, and like bleeding your eyes out, you know, is this the best connection? Is this the connection that we've been designed for? I say no. And so last week, Pastor Ted used a biology illustration. So I'm gonna kind of copy. So, biology, right? So how many of you guys have ever gotten a bruise or have ever been cut or have ever suffered a broken bone? What happens? What happens when when you get cut? It hurts. Okay, pain, good. But, you know, what else happens? Huh? Or cries, okay. right? But, oh, scarring, right? So what's the science behind the scarring? The scarring is, so when you get bruised or cut, blood rushes to protect the area to, the platelets come and kind of form and create scars to protect it, right? And even in stress, your body has learned to protect itself, right? Natural defenses, right? To protect itself. And in stress, you call it fight or flight mode, right? And most people who go through long durations of stress either gain a lot of weight or lose a lot of weight. You know, stress does that because your body's, you know, fight or flight. You know, it's either trying to store as many calories as possible or it's trying to release as many calories as possible to, like, fight off the whatever, right? So our bodies are naturally instinct to fight or flight and protect oneself, right? But actually, what I want to say is actually in trying to protect ourselves, trying to be individualistic, trying to fight, trying to flight, trying to do things on our own, we've actually created walls. Actually, we've been comfortable with the scar tissue. We've been comfortable with the scars so long that it stopped us from reaching our God-given potential and what God has designed us to be. So over the past years, you know, I've been serving at this church for 8 years. And in those 8 years, I've had roommates. I lived alone before, and now I have roommates again. So in the past several years, I've been given the opportunity to live with people and live by myself. And but, you know, when you live with people, sometimes people don't wash their dishes. Sometimes the socks on the floor. Or maybe this is just guys, right? But sometimes, you know, mold builds. Sometimes there's... Oh, wait, this is guys. Sorry. But, but you know, in this process, communication doesn't work out, right? How many of you guys have been in situations where there was a lot of miscommunication and people got hurt? Right? I sure have. But in the midst of this pain, in the midst of these frustrations, I made the decision, I can't live with people. Maybe I'm not designed to live with people. I'm just going to live by myself. Right? I made that decision a few years ago, and I said, hey, I'm just going to live by myself. I'm just going to, you know, because it's easier just to take care of me than to take care of me and someone else, or to care for someone else, or to babysit someone else. Oh, that's what I thought back then, but I'm sorry. But I didn't want to deal with that anymore. So I decided to live by myself. And at first, it was glorious, right? At first, it was great. You know, you could, you know, number two, with the door open, you could shower, you know, no one's watching. Oh, forgot a towel. It's all right. You know, go out and get one, right? That's why I live by myself, right? But, you know, after a while, things happened. After a while, it felt lonely. After a while, it didn't feel like the best I could be living. After a while, I had to make a decision. I cannot live this way for the rest of my life. I realized in that moment, probably like a year in, right? That's a long time. But I realized in this moment that I wasn't designed to be alone. I can't live by myself forever. I need people. I need to be surrounded by people. I need to be living with people. I need to struggle with people. I need to fight with people. Well, not fight with people, but like fight alongside with people, right? You know, so I was blessed. I was blessed. I got to live with Elliot and Angus. And, you know, it really is a blessing. You know, I don't want to say it's perfect, but I recognize every Thanksgiving, I write down, I consider what are those things that I'm thankful for. And at the top of my list, I'm thankful for Elliot and Angus. I'm thankful for the community. I'm thankful for the relationship. Although it's not perfect and we still need to work through things, but I'm fulfilled that I'm not alone, you know? And we have these nights where we could go get boba late at night. We have those nights where we could get fried chicken whenever we want. We're all single. Well, we were all single. And then, right? And, you know, in these moments, you guys, you build the relationship, right? In these moments, I learned that Angus eats a lot, right? We have pictures of him with like 15 pounds of shrimp, like in front of him. Go ask for the picture, right? And, you know, Elliot, you know, in these moments where we, we go out and get some food, or we go out to get Popeyes, and he says, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, as he takes a bite out of a Popeyes chicken, right? You know, these are all these moments that we could share together, now that I'm sharing with you. But these are all these moments that we share that I couldn't experience, and I couldn't live by living by myself, by being alone, right? So, in our sin, we were disconnected. In our sin, because of our brokenness towards one another, we hurt one another. And in our sin, we were disconnected from God. But that's the story of Jesus, right? That's the beautiful story of who Jesus is that when we lean on him, when we trust in him, when we give our lives to him, when we are open and give everything we have to Christ, that he reconciles us. He reconciles us to God, and he reconciles us to one another. You know, Jesus came as a child among us, and he said his name is Emmanuel, God with us. We're not alone. Jesus came, he ate among the sinners. We're not meant to be alone. God connected us to him. And he's given us the ability of forgiveness. He's given us the ability of reconciliation and compassion to connect again with one another, to reunite the relationship. Yeah, in our shared connection with Jesus, we are connected to one another again. Because of our shared relationship with who Jesus is in my life, who Jesus is in your life, we share a connection just from that. So this last semester, I want to give you guys the opportunity to get a view of the youth ministry or what I go through. Or this last semester was a really tough semester. You know, as many of you guys know, I actually took a break in September, right? I took a break in September to the East Coast, and then I got sick, and then I had to go through some stuff. And when I came back, I'd been gone for like 6 weeks. This is the longest I've ever been gone. I joke with Pastor Ted, that was my pseudo sabbatical, right? My little fake sabbatical. And when I got sick, when I came back into the office, you know, I just got overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with, I've been gone for so long. I felt like maybe in our youth ministry, do we lose momentum? You know, I felt tugged from multiple sides, from all these different needs and all these different wants and all these different, you know, pulls from others, right? And, you know, I got flashes in my heart, in my mind of unworthiness, self-pity. You know what? In this moment, I felt alone. I was being overwhelmed, and I didn't know what to do. So I did what I always did in life, in school, you know? When you didn't really know how to do it, just study more. If you didn't know how to, you're trying to get through something, just put work into it, and maybe something will happen. I put my head down. I focused hard. I focused hard on trying to accomplish every task that has been asked of me. Right? But in this moment, I felt most alone. And I actually shut people out because I was trying to focus on something that maybe I wasn't supposed to do at the time. Maybe I was supposed to get reconnected. The more I thought about it, the more alone I felt. And I started going into this crazy spiral. How many of you guys ever been into this spiral of thought, right? That just kind of overtakes you, and you just can't get out of the cycle. You can't get out of the, you just can't get out of the mental cycle or the struggle. You couldn't do it. And I began to spiral hard. I realized I need help, and I couldn't do it by myself. I needed to find a way to break this cycle. I needed to find a way to break this cycle. I needed connection. So I had to take some time to confess to Pastor Ted, Sandy, of where I was, And, you know, in that moment, in that conversation, I was pretty uncomfortable. But then, you know, they recommend, hey, I think you also need to confess and connect with your core team, the youth workers that you work closely, most closely with. So I did. I was very uncomfortable. But just like before, I said, I can't live my life this way for the rest of my life. Something needs to change. I'm willing to do anything, right? So I went there. I went to a dinner. It was cool. I think we kind of surprised the core team, you know. Hey, here's a nice dinner. And by the way, I'm down, right? I wasn't sure. Was it a bait and switch? And I felt like this moment where I was just so heavy and burdened. I was so scared. I was so nervous. Then it came my time to confess. And in that moment, in front of all the leadership, you know, I confessed my insecurity. I confessed my unworthiness that I felt inside. I confessed the guilt and the shame that I had. I felt like I was unforgivable. I felt the special ed title that I have put, that has been labeled on my life, was still over my life. I felt opened. I felt vulnerable. I kind of felt like a child confessing in front of parents, you know, that I stole a cookie or something, right? But what's so surprising about the church, what's so surprising about the community of God is when we confess, when we are real with one another, when we let it all out, something special happens. That night, I wasn't judged. I was actually embraced by grace. I was actually encouraged. I felt compassion, right? I felt an understanding, a love. I felt a sense of forgiveness over my life, right? That night, I shared my heart, and I unloaded all my junk. And what was so awesome, what they did, each one took a turn to speak. Each one took a turn to speak. Each one had something, and they shared, and they spoke over me, my character. They spoke over me, my passion for youth. They pointed out how much God has worked in me over the years. They prayed over me and rallied around me in support. And beautiful thing, they prayed over me and they spoke life into me. They spoke life into me. I was revived. I was alive that moment. Don't we all want that? Don't we all want that word that's just spoken into you? That's not necessarily just from people, but it's from the Lord, right? And, you know, it revived me again. I had life. But it finally hit me. This last week, one of our youth workers was having a hard time. One of our youth workers was having a hard time, and they were just feeling down. And, you know, it was over text message, and I just texted back, okay, yeah, let me pray for you. You know, kind of maybe should it maybe just end it there and just kind of, you know, pray for them. But as I was praying, as I kind of closed everything down, I just prayed over this youth worker. I felt like something came over. I needed to speak. I needed to say something. So I decided to poke and ask, hey, so what's going on? And, you know, they just unloaded some stuff. And in that moment, as I was praying and as I was studying for this message, you know, God tugged my heart. God tugged me and said, and God told me, say this, God is your comforter. God says that he is pleased with you, not because of your any action, but because he created you and called you good. And then finally, I end with my own words. I think you're awesome, right? not necessarily from God because I can't find it in scripture, but God called you and called you good. Who do you have in this life that speaks, hey, God has called you good? Not because of your action, not because of your multiple of sins, not because of your failures, but because he made you and he called you good. In creation, you're meant to be good, right? Part of it was selfishness, to be honest. Some of that words were for me, but actually, I realized that moment that word was for someone else. And I made this, I gave it away. I gave it away. So again, God purposely designed us not to be alone. And God has given us the ability to form and create community that calls out the potential of one another. Community. Community is about being open to one another and speaking the word of God to one another. So, you know, as I end this, I do want to ask you some questions. Where are you? Are you alone? You find yourself without community. You find yourself in these cycles of loneliness or cycles of hurt that push people away. Where are you at right now? And are you ready to make that decision and say, God, I don't want to live this way. I want to live the way you designed me to live, to the fullest of life. So some of you guys might not be alone per se, but do you believe that God has given you the power of words to speak life into someone else? I believe today some of you guys are being called out to speak. To speak life that only the Father can speak life into. And just like Adam was designed and he started practicing it, calling out each animal by its name, I believe God's calling us as a community to speak God's name for each person out. So their identity is revealed, not just individually, but in community. So today, let's break the cycles of loneliness. Let's partake in God's word and speak. And let's live this new year, this new decade, in the fullness of God's creation and how he's made us to be created. I believe this year, 2020, this decade, God is calling our church to thrive together. Together, thrive. And that God's glory will be made known in the earth. Let's pray. God, you called us into community. You have called us not to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. But you called us into a community to speak and to live out how you've designed us to be. God, reconnect us back to you. That in our connection with you, together we can thrive. Together, we're not alone. And with you, we can thrive. So God, reveal to us those people in our life that we need to speak into. Reveal those people in our lives who are safe people to really speak life into us. That we may be just filled with grace, compassion, forgiveness. That the scar tissue that we have, the scabs, will be wiped away and healed by our confession and by your forgiveness. So God, lead us into this 2020 intentionally designed for connection. In Jesus' name I pray.